This call is now being recorded.
Okay, thank you. Assuming the standard message about anyone that doesn't want to be on a call that's recorded should do something about it now. Okay, Glenn, can you do the roll call?
Certainly, Avery. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, good evening. We have on the call Philip Shepherd.
Present.
Saeed Jamil.
Present.
And apologies for Mike Rodenbach, who cannot be on the call. Ute Dekker. Absent. Christina Rosette. Christina has been on the call. I think she's just parking her car. Cyril Chua.
Good evening.
Tony Holmes. Absent. Maggie Mansukia.
Present.
Tony Harris.
Present.
Mary Wong.
I see a message for Hamoda Dobie that says she and Bill are having some problems dialing in.
I've asked them to send their telephone numbers and perhaps we can dial out to them.
Okay, thank you.
Carlos Souza. Tim Ruiz.
Present.
Stefan Van Gelder.
Yep, I'm here.
Adrian Kindris has excused himself. He's absent. Jordi Iparaguida has also excused himself. He's because he's on a television interview. Chuck Gomes.
Present.
Edmund Chan.
Here.
Terry Davis. Absent. Abri Doria.
Here.
Olga Cabelli.
Present.
And for the liaisons to the council, we have Alan Greenberg.
Present.
And the CCNSO observer, Han Chuan Lee.
Present.
And for staff, we have Kurt Pritz, Denise Michel, Rob Hogarth, Marika Koenigs, Liz Gaster, Craig Schwartz, Margie Milam, Julie Headland, and Glenn de Saint-Jerie. Have I left off anybody?
This is Mary Wong. I just joined.
Hello, Mary. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. That means we also now have all the constituencies represented, correct?
We have
and
all the constituencies, yes.
And a quorum vote of how many? It's going to be more complicated.
17.
17, okay, thank you. 17. It's going to be more complicated in the future where we need to determine two quorums, or
yes.
Someone will need to develop two quorums.
18, okay. 18 actually.
18, okay, thank you. And if Bill gets in, we should have 19.
Yes.
Okay, does anyone wish to update any statements of interest at this time? Okay, in which case, then going through the agenda, I have made one change to it based on the note received from Denise last night about there being nothing for us to discuss in terms of assisting in a vote on the GA list. I have removed that item from the list. I did ask if anyone had any objections, and of course if anyone does have any objections at this point, we could certainly put it back in, but it doesn't seem like there's much for us to discuss at this point on that item. Are there any other comments, suggestions, or issues with the agenda? No, in which case we can follow the agenda as it is. The next item is to approve the GNSO Council minutes of 3 September 2009. They have been posted for a week or a little bit more. Is there a motion to accept those minutes?
I will so move, Aubrey. It's Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Is there a second for that?
I will do that. It's Olga.
Thank you, Olga. Is there any discussion or comment on those minutes at this point? Okay, hearing no comment. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Okay, all those opposed, please say nay. And any abstentions? I abstain for the same reason as I've been given last week, due to CSG concerns about the ethics of my decision to join NCUC and about the propriety of my continuing to vote as an NCA. I abstain from all votes in the council until such time as the Board Structural Improvements Committee decides on the disposition of the CSG letter of concern. I do this so that there can be no later dispute concerning policy decisions of the GNSO Council based on questions about my status. Okay, and moving on. The next is the vote on the motion on vertical separation. The item was put on the agenda. The motion was put on for our last meeting. Motion made by Mary Wong. There was a request to delay discussion for a week. I mean, for a meeting period, which we have done. Since then, there have been some discussion and some friendly amendments that have been accepted, and the motion has been seconded by Philip Shepard. I'd like to open the floor to discussion on that motion at this time. Does anybody wish to be in the queue?
Happy, Stefan, please.
Okay, Stefan, anyone else at this time? Okay, excuse me?
Tim.
Okay, Stefan and Tim, anyone else this time? Go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks very much, Avery. I just want to say that at the last meeting, when we discussed this and I asked for it to be deferred, there was talk that we could carry the discussion to the mailing list, and I sent, following that meeting, a couple of questions to the mailing list, and there's been no response to that at all, which makes it difficult for me, at any rate, to continue this discussion at this stage, because the questions that I had have had no response. I've had no response to those questions. I had no, I've not had any clearer vision of what's being proposed. So perhaps those questions could be addressed, or I don't know if Mary's on the call and wants to.
Yes, Mary is on the call. One thing I'd like to just point out is that all that's being requested at this point is an issues report where I think many of your questions would have to be addressed. But at this point, no one is actually starting a PDP, but I'll leave Mary and others to. Mary, did you want to respond to that now, or would you like to wait until after Tim's comments?
I can wait.
Okay. Tim?
Yeah, I just wanted to express a couple concerns that I had in regards to making this request, and why I probably won't vote in favor of it. But one is that, you know, maybe 6 months ago, things might have been a little bit different. But over the last several months, I mean, you know, several issues have been raised that I think get way beyond what the council is going to be able to really address appropriately in order to get to any of the conclusions that we might be looking for. And, you know, they involve, you know, things like, you know, competition laws that might apply in various jurisdictions, concerns over price controls, this question of who may have market power in different segments. And I just think that those are all questions that get beyond what we typically try to resolve through policy, or what really can be resolved through policy, at least in my opinion. And the other issue that it raises then, because of some of those, is just how the ability of registries and registrars, who are really at the crux of this, to really fully participate without putting themselves in positions where they may be crossing the line as far as what they can really discuss, you know, what competitors can discuss amongst themselves or champion or try to push as far as policy is concerned. So I probably won't be voting in favor of it, but given the low threshold, it will likely go forward. And so I would just like to encourage staff to keep that in mind in their consideration of the issues, in particularly the extent to which registries and registrars may or may not be able to participate fully on certain topics and questions that are raised due to you know, the competition issues and antitrust laws or whatever the case may be. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Mary?
Yeah, hi. Stefan, thanks very much for the comments and for the questions. I apologize if in the rush of emails and everything, they probably got overlooked or lost. For my part, I certainly did not put it on my agenda to reply to the questions, and so I think I completely overlooked them. I apologize. But I think essentially the, you know, and if you want to talk about the questions, I'm happy to try and answer them. Essentially, I think what we were hoping to achieve by the motion and as amended is really just to flesh out some of those issues that you have raised before and also to some of the issues that Tim had mentioned. I understand the concern as well as some of the limitations, but that's exactly what we are hoping a hidden juice report could possibly address or at least highlight for us so that we would know what to address if we want to talk about the PDP.
Okay, thank you. Anyone further wish to comment?
Avery, may I come back?
Certainly.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary, and obviously I realize that everyone's email boxes are very full, so no worries there. Some of my questions were, I just want to mention this, on the prioritization of work, which is an issue that we've been discussing in the last few weeks and months at council, in the council. And I think it's a very important question. I mean, I understand that if we're just suggesting that we do an issues report to address some of the questions that are floating around on this topic, then that would seem sensible. What worries me is that there's a link, even, I mean, there's a link implied in the motion, and there will be a natural link there between an issues report and a PDP process. And I'm not sure that we really should be looking at this now, considering the council's workload. I think the question is a valid one that you're asking and that you're raising, and it needs to be looked at. I'm just thinking, is this something that, you know, considering the amount of work that's already been done on this topic throughout the new GTLD program and the work that's been going on there, is this something that we need to look at now? Do you feel that in terms of in terms of the workload that we have, do you feel that this should be done now, which is a, you know, it's just a kind of keep things simple question?
Sure. You know, and frankly, when I was proposing the motion, I was very aware that council and staff are probably more overworked now than at any other recent point, although I could be wrong about that. Our concern as NCUC is that if it doesn't at least get started now, when, that's one thing. The other thing is, again, I mean, I understand the link between an issues report and a PDP, although it doesn't mean that the PDP is given, even if the issues report raises that things, because I understand a different process has to be undertaken then. So I think what I feel is, even though this adds workload, the timing, given the work that has been done, as you said, and work that's ongoing, unfortunately, probably is a good time. And I also think that the issues report will help the rest of the council decide what to do and if to move forward at all. So that's what I what I thought.
Any other comment?
I'd like to.
Okay, Liz. Anyone else in the
room?
Bill, anyone else?
Aubrey, it's Christina. Can you put me in?
Christina, sure. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Liz.
Well, I just wanted to second the concern about the workload as a broader matter, and certainly, you know, I talked to Mary a bit about this issues report, and we definitely don't think we can make the 15-day deadline if this is approved. We talked about possibly extending to 30 days to accommodate the staff concern about, you know, managing this, which I think has been kind of our tradition a bit. with the other issues reports too, but I do second the broader concern about workload, both in terms of staff support but also community participation and how stretched thin and some of the poor attendance we've had on other working groups. So,
Thank you, Liz. Bill?
Hi, and sorry, I just managed to get on a few minutes ago, so I missed everything before Tim's comment. Just to second what Mary was saying, in terms of the workload, I mean, we're always going to have a lot of work, and everybody recognizes that. I'm not sure that that in itself is an argument. This is a process of getting something started. It's an incremental process. 30 days on an issues report would be fine. We don't see the problem with that. But I think if we don't get this going now, given what's going on with the rest of the program, it leaves a lot of uncertainty out there, which might be problematic. And again, we're only talking about, at this stage, doing an issues report to clarify things. Once we know, you know, what we've got in front of us, we're able to think much more coherently about whether to proceed to later steps. And by then, we'll have a new council with new working procedures and everything else. So it doesn't seem to me inherently problematic or unworkable, although I recognize that, like all the other things we're doing, it imposes a strain on staff as well as council members. Thanks.
Aubrey, add Chuck, please.
Okay, I've got Christina, then Chuck. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Christina.
Sure. Just 2 points with, you know, first regard to workload and second, you know, what the IPC thinking was in terms of the friendly amendment. With regard to the workload, I certainly acknowledge that we are all laboring under a tremendous amount of work at this point. However, I have a real problem with our taking the view as a council that we are not going to consider what some in the community believe are very substantive issues because we've been spending hundreds, if not thousands, of hours on, frankly, organizational and administrative issues. Second, with regard to the IPC position, the purpose behind the friendly amendment was really to clarify that the scope of the motion, from our perspective, was limited to, and frankly could only under the bylaws be limited to, requesting an issues report, and that the fact that we put forth the friendly amendment is really on its face intended to be, we support the idea of an issues report. The fact that we put forward the motion should not be viewed as any indication one way or the other as to whether or not we, the IPC, would support going forward with a PDP. But we do think it's something that merits an issues report.
Thank you. I think that's implicit in there being separate votes, but thank you. Chuck.
Yes, just a point with regard to the motion, Aubrey. It sounds like there's support for a 30-day time period for the issues report. Do we need to add that to the motion?
I was going to ask that, and then I needed to ask if 30 days doesn't bring us right into my calendar's not in front of me, doesn't bring us right into the Sol. And if
it does, Aubrey.
And
it
if
does.
Therefore what we're really talking about is 45 days.
It's the 24th, and, you know, one possibility is, you know, we would try to make that date and, you know, may be able to, but another possibility is just to go for 30 days, but with the possibility that we come back to you and ask for another week or so
okay.
if we need it, which is something Mary and I also talked about.
Can I jump back in, Aubrey?
Yes. Please.
The problem with if we do the 30 days, that's the Saturday of Saturday or Sunday, depending on how we count, of the meetings in Seoul. I know the document publication policy is not in place yet, but I don't see any advantage to having it then, because most of us will not have had time to, even if it's done in 30 days, to have really given it adequate focus, so it might make more sense to say 45.
Okay. How would you propose, is there a quick wording change that I can type into this motion? I mean, I could put issues report, comma, in 45 days and leave it at that. Is that sufficient?
I think so.
The GNSO Council hereby requests the preparation of an issues report, comma, in 45 days or within 45 days.
Can I make a suggestion, Aubrey?
Of course.
Can we change it to preparation of an issues report for delivery within 45 days?
Okay, sure.
because that's really what we're talking about, I think.
Okay. Issues report, comma. Oh, no, just, I don't need the commas anymore for delivery. Okay. Yes, Alan.
Yeah. If staff thinks there's a moderate chance that they could deliver something for Seoul, there we will certainly have an opportunity to read the executive summary, and being present together to have some idea what the direction is going, I think would have a lot of value. Vertical integration is going to be talked about a lot in Seoul. So although I'm not, I wouldn't want to push staff. If they think they can deliver a document by then, I wouldn't change that deadline.
Alan, having said within 45 days, and therefore that leaves it open to staff that if they can pull it off, they could. Does that work for you? Or
that's fine, as long as it doesn't automatically become 45 days because of that.
Understood. Any further discussion? Let me save this with the change. Any further discussion at this point? Okay, it's still saving. In which case there's no discussion, I'd like to ask, this is because it is related to PDPs, even though it's not specifically a request for PDP, this is a roll call vote. It is a vote that will have an absentee period, I guess, of the standard length. And it's a vote that has, if I remember correctly, which I did check, a 25% threshold. Glenn, can you call the roll on it?
Certainly I will, Avery. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Zahid Jamil?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Uta Decker? She's not joined the call yet. Cyril Chua?
Yes.
Tony Holmes is not on the call. Tony Harris?
Yes.
Maggie Mansukia?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
William Drake?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
No.
Stefan Van Gelder?
Against.
Chuck Gomes?
Abstain. I can give the reason later, Aubrey, or now,
okay,
whichever you
yes.
prefer.
We tend to give them at the end, so.
Edmund Chan?
Abstain.
Will you give your reason later, too?
It would be the same with Chuck, so we'll give it later, and Chuck can speak to it, too.
Kerry Davis is not on the call. Avery Doria?
I will abstain, and it'll be the same reason I gave earlier. I don't know that I need to repeat it.
Righto. Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
We have got 9 votes in favor. We have got 4 votes against. And we have got 1, 2, 3 abstentions. Chuck, would you like to give us the reasons for your abstaining, please?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank Christina and the IPC for the amendments. I personally think they were very good amendments, and that was, I think, recognized by the NCUC as well. The registry constituency doesn't want us to abstain because of those amendments. They haven't even seen them yet. So the constituency had made a decision on the original motion to abstain. And because we haven't had a chance to put the amended motion in front of them, we're going to just, Edmund and I are just going to go ahead and abstain as directed. The reason for our abstention really had little to do with the request and the motion at all, we except for the fact that even though the motion requests, the original motion requested that any PDP not affect the new GTLDs, we think it would be highly unlikely that it would not have an impact on the launch of new TLDs. And because there could be misperceptions with regard to existing registries doing anything that might cause delays, and thinking that we are fearful of competition, we want to avoid that first possible perception.
Okay, thanks. And as I said, mine is the same one I read in earlier and will remain that.
Thank you, Avery. And the absentee ballot will go out.
Okay, thank you. And this is the standard...
72 hours.
72 hours, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. The next one is the vote on the bicameral council transition plan, including the assignment of NCAs. Since there is one paragraph in that that applies specifically to me, I am turning the chair over to Chuck for this item. Chuck.
Thank you, Aubrey. Been a lot of activity on this one, as well as the operating procedures, and they're not totally disconnected. So what I will do, first of all, is open it up for discussion, and before doing that, maybe I should ask if there are any clarifying questions about where we're at on that motion. I did put in a one more amendment to it late yesterday. I think it was a pretty safe amendment, basically just adding to item 9 in the plan. Certainly, if anybody has any questions on that, please ask. But are there any clarifying questions on the plan as it's mapped out there?
Yeah, this is Tim.
Go ahead. Okay, let me take a cue because there probably are multiple people. Okay, Tim, you're in the queue.
Yeah, there was some discussion about the order of the elections for the vice chairs versus the chair. A question I had, and I probably could find it, but I haven't had an opportunity, was just, do we have some sort of rule around where the chair and vice chairs can, what constituency or stakeholder group they can come from? In other words, we couldn't have a vice chair from the same stakeholder group as a chair.
That's
Am
correct.
I mistaken in that, or is that?
No, that is correct in the operations procedures that we're going to vote on later, yes.
Right, so I wonder if that might... So I guess that would be one reason why I think I would probably support, you know, switching those around if others agree, just because I think knowing, you know, where if there's a chair and where the chair, what stakeholder the chair comes from would be helpful in not spinning a lot of wheels needlessly in the vice chair elections within each house. Until that decision is known or understood. At least that would be my preference.
Okay, and there's been a lot of discussion on the list. I don't even know if everybody's had a chance to look at all of it, because there's been a lot in the last few days. Just to comment, obviously this is a very awkward situation in this one-time transition, because the new council has to approve the chair, as a selected chair, and that council won't be seated until the 28th. I suggested a workaround on the list if there was enough cooperation between the four stakeholder groups and their associated houses. We could, in essence, make our best efforts to choose a chair, realizing that it wouldn't be confirmed until the meeting on the 28th in Seoul. And if we were successful, that could be done before nominations are finished for the vice chairs. But I'm curious as to what if anybody's reviewed that, and whether they think that would work, whether each of the constituencies would be willing to cooperate in that regard, because I sympathize with Tim's point. In fact, I brought it up with Aubrey and staff when we were grappling with this, several weeks ago. So I'd like to open it up for discussion. Anybody else like to get in the queue?
Yeah, Chuck, I'll say something, as usual. Stefan.
Go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks.
Not specifically to the point you were raising, but generally to why it may be a good idea for us to consider reversing the order that was initially proposed. I think it makes it more likely that for this one time chair and vice chair election, we will reach some kind of consensus and success in electing a chair. If we start off with the chair election first. One of the points that I wanted to, and that's been said on the mailing list and everything, so I don't need to go into that, but one of the things I wanted to check, or at least ask, is the chair election has to be done during the Wednesday's meeting, is that correct?
Yes.
So is it feasible to...
Well, let me back up a second there. I say yes, there's a possibility that we won't have a successful election and that the process that's outlined in the operating procedures would have to be followed after that. But we certainly need to attempt to elect a chair in that meeting.
What I meant was it cannot be done earlier in the week. It has to be done in the official meeting. Is that correct for the chair,
well,
not the vice chair?
Well, of course, that's the time we've elected to seat the bicameral council. So if we move that time up, it maybe could be done earlier. The problem with that, though, is we've had a standard practice not to have any official meetings before that Wednesday meeting at these international ICANN meetings. And that's for several reasons. Number one, sometimes people can't get there early. Or they're traveling when we might have a meeting like that, which makes it difficult to call in for, et cetera. So I think there's real value in that practice. That doesn't mean we couldn't change it once, but I think, you know, having an official meeting where voting occurred earlier would go against that practice.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. I mean, I fully understand the reasons you've just given. They make perfect sense. I was just suggesting we might want to explore the possibility of having a kind of dry run, if you can call it that, earlier in the week, just to avoid that situation where on the Wednesday we find ourselves unable to elect a chair, and if we reverse the order and we do the vice chairs after the chair and we can't do the chair, then we don't have vice chairs. I was thinking that if we did this earlier during the weeks, I mean, we say on the Sunday where possibly we're all there, then we can have a chance at rectifying the problem if we find that we're unable to elect a chair. But maybe that's a bad idea.
Well, we need to recognize that whether we put the chair election first, however we do that, or the vice chairs first, in either scenario, there's the possibility that we won't successfully elect a chair by the meeting in Seoul, and we're still going to need the vice chair. So I think we need to recognize that possibility whichever way we go. Now, so if there was support by each of the stakeholder groups, representatives on that are on the council now, and we could... for all practical purposes, initiate you can call it, I think you referred to it as a dry run process, a process whereby we could make best efforts to identify a chair before the nominations for vice chairs are ended, and therefore, I think, accomplish your objective. Now, if we're unsuccessful, we're the same where we would have been anyway if we put the if we reverse the order. So I guess my question to the people on this call from the various stakeholder groups: are you willing to kind of make best efforts? And I outlined a way that could happen. I don't know that I've captured it in the best way, but a way that we could start working together even immediately after this meeting to try and reach some consensus on who the chair would be before the nomination period ends for vice chairs, as outlined in the plan that's on the table right now, And if there's support for that, we might be able to accomplish your objectives. But it requires the cooperation of each stakeholder group in each house.
I mean, it sounds like a plan to me. It sounds like a good way to compromise and try and make some headway on this issue. Whether we are able to, before the nominations close for vice chairs, ascertain who would likely be the best chair candidate is another question, but it certainly seems for now to be worth a try.
Could I put some people on the spot from the other two stakeholder groups, whether you think that you would be willing to support the idea of us working together to identify a chair, whether it be according to the plan I outlined or not, I don't have a lot of concern there. I just tried to be constructive in a way that we could move forward starting immediately and do that. And if we're successful, then we've solved the problem that Tim and Stefan have identified.
Fit it with a slightly different comment.
Go ahead, Philip.
Okay. I can say this quite dispassionately because as a retiring councillor, I ain't going to be voting for anybody. But I think the point is you're taking all this far too seriously, and you're trying to build a model that is going to resist all failure and resist all scenarios, and that's why you're having such trouble creating it. With goodwill, elections will happen, people will rally around the right candidate, and you'll have chairs and vice chairs. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter. At the start of every council meeting where you haven't yet had elected vice chairs or chairs, you can decide, as a deliberative body, we're going to elect a chair for the purpose of this meeting only, and you choose somebody amongst that group, and council carries on functioning. You don't need an annually elected chair in order for council to function, so don't worry about it so much.
And so, Philip, how would you just suggest we go with the plan that's on the table?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Which plan?
Okay.
The first one or the latest one?
It doesn't matter.
The plan that's in the motion.
So the
I was asking.
The vice chairs and then the chairs, is that what you're asking, Chuck?
Well, as far as, yes, that's true, but keep in mind, Stefan, that wouldn't in any way prevent us from working together between now and the time we have to actually vote on the chair of reaching some sort of consensus before that meeting and even before the vice chairs are selected. So it's entirely up to us.
Chuck, this is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
We would have no problem with the approach that you've outlined, and frankly, we really appreciate all the work you've put into trying to iron out something that's fair and pretty elaborate, but seems workable to me.
So another question for you, Philip. If the other three stakeholder groups were willing to try and cooperate and get some work done on the chair election process in advance, is it reasonable to expect that the commercial stakeholder group would be willing to cooperate in that? Because it would depend on the cooperation of all four stakeholder groups. And I'm not only asking that of you, but also of the other two constituencies that are represented from the commercial stakeholders group.
Well, sure. I mean, you're describing the natural function of the political process, Chuck, of course.
Thank you.
Can I speak, Tony Harris?
Yes, Tony.
Excuse me. From the ISPCB, I'm sorry, I think we would be more than willing. I won't be on the council any longer, but I'm sure our constituency would find that a constructive approach to discuss how to move forward with that.
Thank you, Tony. And anyone from the intellectual property constituency like to comment on this?
Sure. I mean, it sounds perfectly reasonable.
Thank you, Christina. And so, is there any objection? I believe that doing that doesn't in any way contradict the plan that we're voting on today. So is there any objection to going ahead and voting on the motion? Okay. If that's the case, then is there a need to do a roll call on this? Does anybody object to just doing a voice vote on this plan? All right. All in favor of the motion with the latest amendments, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. Any abstentions? Please identify yourself.
This is Aubrey. I abstain because I'm referred to in the motion.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you very much. And I think that I can turn the meeting back over to Aubrey.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the item 6, which is the vote on the draft GNSO Council operating procedures for public comment. Now, this is not the council voting to approve those. This is the council voting to approve sending them out for public comment. And then they would be voted on as the first thing in the as the first thing in the Wednesday council meeting. At the moment, there is both the draft that came out of the OSC, and there has been discussion of the issue of started out under the name of abstentions. But really, it seems to be more related to the issue of whether the default vote category is House members present or House members. Now, we basically have two options. This council can vote on amending the OSC recommendations at this point before they go out to comment. Alternatively, if necessary, both the amendment and the OSC recommendation can go out for comment, and the new council would first take up that amendment and any other amendments that result from the public comments, because it's, you know, one has to leave open the public comments will cause the creation of yet other amendments that would have to be voted on before the draft itself. So I open up, I think with that brief introduction, I open up to discussion. Anyone wish to comment on either the draft or the taking the vote now on the amendment versus sending both the amendment and the draft out?
Aubrey, I'll start off with one comment. I believe we just had a vote where there was a threshold under the old bylaws requirements of 25%. My understanding is that was 25% of all the votes in the council, regardless of who was present when we took the vote. Is that correct?
I'd have to go back and check that. I believe so. I know certainly in the bylaws that I've been paying more attention to these days, all the thresholds defined by PDP have been defined based on full house.
Based on what? I didn't hear that.
Based on membership in the house.
Right, yeah. And so that was my thinking. Whether my thinking's right or not, we can debate that. I don't have any magic knowledge in that regard, but I also had that understanding when we developed the threshold, and we worked really hard on that, coming to a consensus position on that, that it was always based on the total voting members in the council or in the house, whichever was applicable. So I would just point that out. And then the second thing I would say is that this is going out for public comment, so we can decide to put what's on the table right now with the amendment out for public comment, and we can continue to work with it in the public comment period as well.
By the way, I just checked the bylaws, the current bylaws. The PDP votes are of members present.
It is members present, then.
It is members present.
Okay,
but
so
in
it is
the
different.
New, but the new thresholds are based on House membership.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Tim. So I'm a little confused. But then I've been crossing like six different time zones here lately, so it's probably not surprising. But what does that have to do with this motion on the on posting the comments again? I guess
it
somewhere.
Okay, being confused on this has nothing. I mean, even if you stayed in the same time zone, all this could be incredibly confusing. Basically, at the moment, we need to take a vote on putting out the comments. I mean, putting out the draft for public comment before we can vote on it, or before the new council can vote on it in full. However, there's a proposed change to the draft that came out of the OSC. And because the OSC's draft says essentially of members voting, of members present. No, it says of members voting, not members present. And that is in contradiction to the bylaws as they were recently approved, which said of the houses. So there's a question of amending what came out of the OSC before sending it out, or sending out both the amendment and the draft and voting on it all later. And so that's the item for discussion. And then, of course, we need a vote on sending either both or just one, the amended or non-amended one, out.
And note that the I think on the Adobe Connect page, the latest amendment is not shown unless I just didn't update it or something. But on the Wiki page, there the amendment I put in yesterday, which attached a new version of the procedures reorganized by staff, and I think a lot of good formatting improvements were made. But the key issue has to do with this particular issue, which used to be, I think, 5.4 of the procedures, and now is, help me out, staff, it's 4.2, is that right? Or it's
that's correct, Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And it's not a clear issue. Steve Metallis on the OSC list made a very excellent some very excellent observations that Philip forwarded around to the council this morning, and I, you know, based on his analysis there, he provided examples where it probably makes sense to count the abstentions, and there may be a place a need for exceptions in the case of conflicts of interest, and that itself gets a little more complicated, and I think is going to need some more consideration by us, whether it be during the public comment period or even maybe deferring the issue to the GCOT, the Council Operations Work Team, to continue work this issue, because he identified some very good issues there. And I won't repeat what he said because it has been distributed unless people want discussion on that.
So, Chuck, do I understand correctly that in that it seems like it would be reasonable to postpone voting on amending the draft until after comments?
Not totally, because I think the new draft does a lot more. I mean, there are a lot more changes made in the new draft than just that issue, Aubrey. That seems to be the only controversial one.
Right. No. Yeah. I was that.
This is Tim. Could I get in the queue on that?
Please go ahead.
And Philip, on the queue as well, please.
I just think that the bylaws, you know, have been approved. So if where this draft deviates from it, I don't see any issue with amending it to be in line with it, simply because I don't see how we can have procedures that can actually conflict with the bylaws. So as far as those changes are concerned, it would seem to me it would make sense to modify them, to bring them in line with the approved bylaws, and then post it for public comment. You know, as far as the other changes are concerned, that may be different, but where it conflicts with bylaws, I would support only posting the amended version.
Okay, thank you. Philip?
Well, two comments. I think one of which, I mean, I agree with Tim's logic, but I fear that part of the problem is, I think we're starting to realize there are questions that are not clear in those amended bylaws, and therefore tinkering without thinking it through, I think, is the issue. I mean, for me, the key about any of these thresholds, and in particular the sort of the catch-all simple majority 50% that we're talking about for everything else, is all a question of what is it a percentage of? You know, is it of the total members? Is it, you know, the new 13 or the new 7 people in the House, regardless if they're there for the vote or not? Is it of, as we do today, members present, or is it based on votes cast? If you follow normal international procedures, not ICANN procedures in the past, of excluding abstentions as being votes cast. So you've got three options in terms of what the 50% of means. Now, I think that, I say no harm at all in sending this stuff out for public comment. I think, you know, we can get comments on the rest of it, and we can carry on thinking about it in between. That makes eminent sense just to progress things. But I think some very useful work that staff could do would be just to give us a couple of tables, and they're fairly straightforward because you've already got a vote to be meaningful has already got to hit quorum. So the various, you know, options, particularly in a House with 7 votes, is going to be pretty small variance. But just so we understand the implications of those three different concepts, you know, is it members present, or is it votes cast, and what those outcomes might look like. I think it would be very useful for us to be able to decide, hey, you know, this really doesn't matter for practical purposes, or yes, it might, and therefore we take a decision based on how it might.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay. So it sounds to me, I mean, we had one, I think, reasonable comment from Tim in that we should bring it in line, but by the same token, based on what Philip said, if indeed after all this discussion, it one could certainly, the new council could certainly request that the board, you know, reconsider the bylaws in this issue, and in fact the board has already, you know, indicated that there will be further bylaw changes as time goes on. So I don't know that, you know, is an issue. Is there anyone that objects to sending both the draft and the issue out for public comment? And that would probably require a quick amendment of the motion.
And Aubrey, that could be added to the amendment that I have on there. All right, I
right.
consider that.
Basically, yeah. Okay, is there any objection to basically sending them both out? Okay, so if there's no, then we can sort of say there's a consensus to send both the, if we're going to send, I'd like to ask, is there any objection in the council to sending the draft and the proposed amendment out for public comment? Any objection to me calling that a consensus decision of the council to send these out for public comment? Any requirement for a vote? Okay, thank you.
And then
Yes.
I'm sorry, this is Rob. If I can just clarify what we'll do. It seems to me the most efficient way, rather than sending out two documents, is that we can post the revised, cleaned-up version for public comment. And what we will do in both the announcement in the public comment box and in the document that's posted will show the two versions of 4.2. First, the original language, and we'll call that original, and then we'll have a second paragraph next to that which reflects the quote-unquote amended language. And that might be the best way to flag this issue for anyone who's reviewing the comments and contributing to the forum.
Okay. Any questions or issues with that? Any objections?
I did have one other comment.
Certainly.
Philip, I think, made an excellent suggestion about the staff preparing some tables to show what different results might look like. I'd suggest that, again, as staff, we'll put that together. Given the fact that we want to get this forum opened as soon as possible, what we'll do is we will contribute those tables as comments in the forum, noting that they were at the request of council members, and that will, again, give folks interested in participating in the forum that information. And we'll do that very early in the process so that it's available for everybody to look at.
Now, Aubrey, a point of order, just a more of a question, I guess, with regard to order. Do we need seconds to the motion for the amendment and the motion itself? And going back to the previous agenda item on the plan, we didn't have a second on that motion either. I don't know if we have to have seconds because there seemed to be unanimous support for those except for your extension.
Interestingly enough, we have a practice of having seconds. I'm not sure that we actually have a rule that requires them, but theoretically, yes, we do need seconds. I didn't notice on either.
And I'm sorry for not bringing that up sooner. I caught it after the fact, and I was leading the meeting on the previous one, so that was my mistake. So is there, if I can go back, Aubrey, taking the chair just briefly, on the motion that we approve for the plan, would somebody identify themselves as seconding the motion?
This is Mary. I'll second.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, it's back to you, Aubrey.
Okay, thank you. A second after a motion is approved is an interesting item. But okay, I guess on this one, we did have a consensus, but at this point, I think, given Chuck's example, I do need to ask for a second.
Is there a second
on item 7?
I'll second.
And is that on the amendment and the motion?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
You.
In which case, I'll ask the question again. Is there any objection to moving forward with sending both the amendment and the now seconded draft charter out to public comment for approval out to public comment for discussion and approval at the Wednesday meeting in Seoul? Okay, hearing no objection. Again, registered as a consensus view of the council. Thank you. Okay, any more discussion on that one? And thank you, Rob, for all the work and the work to come. Thank you. Item 8 has been skipped over. As I say, there is a message from Denise on that. The next item on the agenda is item 9. Discussion of the Seoul agenda. There's one specific issue outstanding, and then basically there's just going through the Saturday and Sunday and discussing the various issues because there had been a request from Christina that hasn't quite been resolved yet. So the first item was the proposal by the registrars for a council meet and greet, discussion and socializing. I'm not clear, to be very honest, from the discussions we've had, whether the morning session, which was the meet and greet plus pet peeves or whatever session, is still requested. I'm fairly clear that there was discussion of a bar, meeting in a bar and having drinks, and there's also another recommendation on the table of actually trying to have a council dinner, and I suppose this would be both new and old council members in attendance, dinner in the what I'll call the board style, a restaurant with a room, which is easy to find in Seoul, by the way. That's most restaurants come with little private rooms. Speaking of someone that lived there. So that is a very easy thing to find there as long as you want Korean food. Or to go for that option. And I'm not clear where we're at on this, so I'd like to open the floor to discussion on trying to figure out what it is we want to do on the Saturday thing. And within that, on the morning session, if there is to be a session where we meet and greet each other and discuss pet peeves, is that to be an open or closed session? Now, in terms of our practice, whenever we decide to close a session, we take a vote on closing that session. So if we're having that session, and if there is interest in closing that, I would like to call for such a vote today. So I open the floor to discussion.
Add Chuck to the queue, please.
And Stefan. Anyone else want to lead in? Go ahead, Chuck.
As I expressed on the list, I think any effort to try and do the pet peeve session, we're going to spend all the rest of the meeting and beyond just deciding on what to do because of the variance and discussion that occurred. I would suggest, and I leave this up to the registrars, and Stefan will probably address this, that we drop that idea and we focus on the social activity and what we want to arrange in that regard.
Okay. Stefan?
Thanks. Well, I'd even go further, actually. If you'll excuse my frankness, I'm very, very surprised by the reaction this has gotten. The initial idea was that we were talking amongst ourselves, and we felt that there was sometimes some misunderstanding between different council members. Sometimes there was a feeling that there were some people we didn't, know well enough, and that it might be helpful in our for the council as a whole to function if we knew people better. Adrian, being the kind of person he is, suggested we have a beer, and me being French, I suggested we talk about it. But that was all it was. And to go from there, the idea that we would perhaps turn off the mics for 5 minutes and just, say what we really think. I'm not saying that we don't usually, but it might be easier without a mic for 5 minutes. And the idea that we would get together and have drinks in the evening suddenly became something that you have to vote on. I'm just stunned. I mean, and I understand that what people have said, the issues, and maybe we do need to take a vote on this, and maybe we can't just, close meetings for 5 minutes because there's other people that want to be involved and want to know what we're saying. And, maybe we just went into this very naively. But I do think that it would help the council function as a unit if sometimes we were just able to talk to each other without it being official.
Anyone else wish to comment?
Tony Harris.
And
Philip.
And Philip, Tony.
I'd just like to second what's just been said. I think Stefan has made a pretty valid point there.
Okay, thank you. Philip?
I echo precisely Tony's sentiments and Stefan's. I think sometimes we box ourselves into a corner of procedure and voting when things can be much simpler. I think the idea of the sort of session that Stefan mentioned is a good one. And in terms of the social one, I think that is also good too. If you want it to be a bit more productive as a social event, you're not going to do it very successfully in a bar. That will just get into groups and you'll have a nice time. I think given we're going to be, as you so rightly said, in a city that is renowned, like much of that part of the world is, with restaurants and private rooms, I'd have thought a dinner on that basis would be an eminently sensible and desirable function.
Thank you. If I can add something, I think that in terms of public meetings, the GNSO just has such a long-standing tradition of not closing anything. And so even the simplest closing is problematic. I think that Bruce's suggestion of meeting at a restaurant in a room basically satisfies both the condition of being in an environment where people can talk, especially because those restaurants have these big square tables that one can sit around, and although I'm not quite sure of the size, but you know, I'm sure that can be dealt with, and that, and I've just, you know, we do have to worry about how it looks to the rest of the GNSO in terms of closing something, and as the sort of, you know, still nominal keeper of the bureaucracy, sort of feel that if we are going to close something, we do have to vote to close it.
Can you put me in the queue, please?
Yes, Mary. Anyone else?
It's Nina.
Bill.
I got Mary. I got somebody after Mary that I keep missing.
No, Bill. it was me, Stefan, but Bill, let Bill go.
Okay. So
and it was Christina,
Bill.
Not Mary.
Huh?
It was Christina, not Mary.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Can I go?
Yeah, please.
And Tim, after somewhere else.
I, you know, I really agree with Stefan and Tony and Philip, and while I certainly recognize your point about the longstanding tradition of keeping the meetings open, I really have to think that the members of the ICANN community are reasonable enough to understand that if we want to have, you know, a 30-minute closed, off-the-record, very kind of candid, non-policy, non-procedure, non-substantive discussion that will facilitate our ability to actually work more productively, I would hope that the rest of the ICANN community is reasonable enough to allow us to do that. But I guess you and I disagree as to whether that's possible.
Excuse me. All I'm saying is that the council would need to take a vote on doing it. Not that we can't. It's just that we would need to vote on doing it. That was my only point. Bill?
I'm just to repeat what I said in a list. I think starting with greet and gripe is kind of a weird way to launch a meeting. That would create kind of a funny atmosphere that's probably contrary to what was really attended, and I think that some of the dialogue that happened in consequence kind of reveals why that could be problematic. To me, it's perfectly reasonable to do this as a dinner and drinks, and I think you would have a much better outcome. So, and I certainly, under any circumstance, would not want a closed meeting. That's just the way it is. Thanks. And I can assure you that that's NCUC's general view. Thanks.
Thank you. Stefan?
Wasn't there Tim before me?
Oh, I don't know. I'd written down Tim after, but
well, let him go. I've had a say already, so I don't want to hold the mic.
That was just a question, but maybe it's kind of been answered. That so if we have this dinner, then there's no need to vote on closing that. I mean, that would be GNSO council members only, and no need to vote to close that. We could. Restricted to just GNSO council members, and that'd be that.
Yep.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's doing something sort of outside the, you know, ICANN meeting slot. So I'm kind of looking for some guidance. It seems that there's general agreement on trying to have the dinner in a restaurant with a room for GNSO council members, current and new, on the Saturday night. Is that correct? Is there any objection to asking the GNSO secretary to try and help us set that up? Okay. The second thing, I'll assume that there's consensus on trying to do that. The second question would be, and this is, I'm asking a question and slightly making an assumption, is this is a dinner that we would all, you know, be paying for ourselves, that this is not a sponsored dinner that we are looking for. Is that also a correct assumption?
Can we get it paid by travel funding?
Well, I think we can.
Sorry, that was a little joke.
Him, if we have travel funding per diem, we can use it for anything.
No, that was a joke, Avery. That was a joke.
Oh, sorry. I don't understand jokes. Fine.
Sorry,
oh.
I should have. Yeah, I should have put a smiley before that.
Yes, you may use your per diem to pay for it. Okay, so I understand that there's no request in this dinner for any, you know, extra sponsorship. We all pay it out of our own funds or per diem, as the case may be. Okay, so then that leaves me with...
Actually, Aubrey, it's Christina. I just I was thinking, you know, I don't think we necessarily need to make the decision with regard to this particular dinner, but I do think that it may be helpful kind of going forward that, you know, at each of the annual meetings where you are going to have a turnover of counselors, that there be some kind of, you know, not formal, but some kind of ICANN-sponsored opportunity for us to actually meet each other after, as opposed to just having to kind of walk into a room and plop yourself down at one of those tables. Because I just do think that we will be more productive if we know each other better, frankly.
Can I comment on that?
Certainly, Tim.
Yeah, you know, I guess just a question first is that with when the board and the GNSO council have dinner, is that considered closed? Is that?
Yeah.
Are minutes produced? Are
no.
These discussions open to anyone to attend?
No. Basically,
yeah. So I guess I don't see a and again, I don't have any problem with, you know, how this is funded this particular time around. But I think, you know, Christina makes a good point that, you know, so I don't see why we can't formally have a dinner as a council where we might discuss specific topics and that wouldn't have to be open to the public. There wouldn't have to be any recording or minutes kept. And why we wouldn't explore the possibility that's actually funded outside of doing it ourselves. So I'll throw that out there. But this particular time around, I certainly wouldn't have had no problem doing that. But
the reason I asked the question was to know whether we needed to approach the staff with a funding request for this one. I think in terms of Christina's suggestion and such, you're talking about something that we would ask to be included in the budget for the following year. At this point, it would be, you know, extra budget, which would mean we would need to go to, you know, Kevin, the CFO, and say, hey, we want to do that. And that's pretty much why I asked whether the assumption was that we were paying it out of our own pockets or per diem, or whether we wanted to make a request. I wasn't trying to prejudice it either way, and my consideration had to do with budgetary concerns and not, you know, because we're having a dinner, therefore it would have to be open.
Aubrey, please.
Right. And I would just support at least looking into that. And to be honest, I'm just kind of shooting from the hip on that. I don't know what our constituency would say, to be honest. But I think it's something at least worth looking into to see what the possibilities are.
Avery, can you put me in the queue, please?
Yeah, certainly. I've got Chuck and I've got Stefan. Basically, each year the chair and such get the, hey, what do you need for budget request to be considered? So, you know, future chair would need to deal with that. Yes, Chuck.
I have no problem paying my own way at the dinner, but I'm concerned about the logistics of 20-some-odd people, maybe 30-some-odd people, each one paying their own way and how we're going to make that happen. So just from a logistical standpoint, I would suggest that we investigate the possibility of funding on that dinner.
Okay, that's fine. If I could comment one thing. When I've done other things like this, basically what's happened is, you know, the person arranging that has come back and said, okay, you know, I need $40 from each of you to pay for it, and that's how it's done. But anyhow, okay, I had, was it Stefan next?
Yeah, thanks. One question, basically, because I think, you know, I mean, I agree with what Christina has said. The idea is meant to help the GNSO Council work, and in that sense, maybe it would be eligible for funding. But, you know, let's keep things simple once again. I don't know about you guys, but I intend to eat on Saturday night, whether I eat with you guys or not. So I will be paying for food at some point. I don't mind. I mean, it doesn't need to be an expensive restaurant or anything. I don't mind. I'd be happy to pay my way and make it simple and keep it simple if it, you know, involves, if it means that we can have dinner together, at least some of us, and get to know each other a little better. On the point of the open or closed session, I wanted to make this point. Some people will not be able to make the dinner because they already have commitments. They already have other things going on. Don't forget that there's a dinner on Sunday night as well. Some people won't be there yet. You know, the dinner isn't a given for everybody. And I do think it's helpful if during one of our work sessions, we have a closed session or maybe not closed. I mean, closed seems to be a taboo word. I don't want it closed. I just want people to be free to talk, and maybe that needs to be unscribed or whatever. But I do think that the council can determine that at some stage it wants to talk in an informal way. I don't think we really need to be that careful about what signal we're sending, because the signal we're sending is clear. We're trying to work together better.
Okay, thanks. All I've been trying to say is that needs to be a deliberate decision that the council makes and says why. And so if this group basically says we want to have a session at the beginning of the day on Saturday, or perhaps it's Sunday, because the same consideration of not everybody being there would apply to Saturday morning more than it would apply to Saturday evening. But I have not been arguing that, you know, we can't or we shouldn't, but merely that it's something that's always been deliberately decided. We are having a closed session for the following reason. It's a decision we're making. We're open and public about it, and that's that. Not that one, you know, not a normative that one should or shouldn't. I understand there's an NCUC position against closing it. There seems to be a general position that closing it is fine. I just am basically saying that by practice, it's something we do deliberately and not just, you know, slide into. That's all. So I guess my next question is, I think we've reached consensus on, we're going to ask the Secretariat to help us find a place for dinner on Saturday night, closed room where we can sit around the table, old council, new council, and basically talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. The two, this will be self-funded, however it is we're self-funding our dinners. You know. Now, three, the question is, do we want to have a open session before the normal schedule on, and I would suggest Sunday morning at this point.
Is that everything? Make sure Brandon. Rachel, wait.
Okay, I don't know if somebody's trying to make a point or it's just extra information coming in. So, first of all, I'd like to ask, should this be Sunday morning, given the late arrival of people, some people on Saturdays? And do we want to have that session? So is there consensus on having a session and which day? And this would be, what, a 45-minute session? Anyone else here? Hello?
We're still on.
Oh, okay, fine. It was so silent, nobody was saying anything. I thought maybe it had one of those being dropped even.
Avery, it's Alan. Could you put me in the queue?
Sure, Alan. Anyone else? Okay, Alan.
Just to comment that technically, according to the bylaws, liaisons are not members of the council, so you should be specifying just for the knowledge of liaisons whether they're included or not in these various things.
Okay, thanks. Is there any issue with regard to liaisons attending the council dinner? Or do we assume that they're, you know, part of the council as we've always assumed?
Yes.
So there is no question when we say council members past and I mean current and incoming, we include our liaisons. Okay. So we have consensus on that piece. So going back to a session, do we want to have one? And if we want to have one, is it Saturday or Sunday morning?
Aubrey,
can you clarify the nature of the session? Is this the gripe session?
This is the meet and greet, and I guess it includes state your pet peeves. Say whatever it is you want to say.
Add Chuck to the queue, please.
Okay, Chuck.
Like I said in my first comment on this topic, let me add a little bit to that. I could participate in that with no problems at all. I'm perfectly comfortable with that, but I sense that I sense a lot of discomfort on in some people's parts and variations in terms of how this would be handled. Based on what I saw, I think it's better we focus on the dinner and not do that. But if we have it, I will cooperate and have no problem with it.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to comment?
If we must have it, I would say to do it the second day.
Okay, any other comment, please? Thank you, Bill. Okay, I'm going to basically ask for a voice vote on two issues here, unless there's an objection. One is on holding this meeting at the front end of the schedule on Sunday morning, and then the next one is on whether it's open or closed. Any objection to my asking for two quick votes so that we can basically terminate the discussion and move on?
Objection.
Okay. So,
only that you include the liaison questionnaire, too.
I think, okay, for the purposes of definition, is there any objection that when we talk about council, current and incoming, we include liaisons? Is there a consensus on that basically being decided by consensus that that's what we mean? Okay, thanks.
Sorry, it's Liz.
Hello, Liz.
I just wanted to ask about, you know, whether the council would like to include the GNSO staff or not.
This is Stefan. If you turn the mics off, I'll answer that question.
Sorry, I can't do that. In fact, I once did that for a meeting and I actually had to get special permission from the operators because they have a practice of not doing that. Okay.
Well, if maybe I can just be of a little help here. I mean, the basic idea was that everyone that was involved with the way the council works and everything, come along and have a drink. And by all means, Liz, you'd be very welcome, and anyone else that we enjoy working with and that provides so much help to the council on a day-to-day basis, from my point of view, would be very welcome.
I would tend to agree. However, once one starts including the staff, this is something I have learned from the dinners on the Sunday night, staff does outnumber council members by at least 3-1 if you look at the number of staff that works with us and that, I assume we enjoy working with all of them. So
this is Liz. I'm completely agnostic, but the only thing I was asking about was the GNSO policy staff that specifically supports the GNSO. So
that would be you and your team, essentially.
Right. And, you know, Denise. Denise, me, Julie, Margie, Marika, Rob, Glenn, the core. And, they may have other plans. I just want to know the council's preference.
Involve them.
In the dinner as well, that does make the restaurant choice a little bit harder, but okay. Okay, so is there any objection that this includes the policy staff specifically involved with the GNSO plus Denise whenever we're talking about the GNSO council current and incoming? There is no objection. Okay. So, back to my question, and I'll ask for a vote. Is there support for having a closed private session on Sunday morning of 45 minutes before the rest of the session begins? So whatever schedule we've got now, we back it down by 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and we sit and discuss, close, no transcription, et cetera. And I'd like to actually ask for a poll.
Ari, didn't you just conflate two different things?
I conflated the two things, yes. I conflated having the meeting with having it closed.
Why?
Just to finish it quicker. If you object, I will separate them.
I would separate them.
Okay. So I'd like to ask then just a voice vote on whether we hold the meeting Sunday morning. And this is a meeting to meet and greet and discuss how we work together. And a meeting to be held before the regular schedule. Any objection to taking that vote at the moment? All those in favor of having such a meeting on Sunday morning, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions?
Is there a whatever option?
A what?
Whatever.
That's called abstain. Thank you. Anyone wish to abstain? I abstain for the same reasons I recorded at the beginning of the meeting. Okay. So we are scheduling such a meeting for Sunday morning before the schedule as currently planned. I'd now like to ask for a poll vote on closing this meeting. Closing meeting, no transcription, no outside participation other than council, liaison, policy staff directly concerned with GNSO plus Denise. Whether that meeting should be closed.
Before we vote, could I say something? Tony Harris?
Certainly.
Why don't we just decide not to call it a closed meeting and say if it's going to be up ahead of everything, we're having breakfast together, and then the regular meeting begins after that.
Let me add something to that, if I can.
Yes, please, Chuck.
If we have it open, it seems to me that we would need to restrict discussion to the council participants, as you defined them, staff, liaisons, et cetera. Otherwise, we'll never get much done in a short period of time.
Right. And also, just in terms of breakfast, we need to know whether it's, because it also then we have to request breakfast, which is something we haven't done yet. Then we basically, and you're right, breakfasts are frequently closed. Although by council tradition, they also haven't been because everything is open. So I would still want to call for a vote on closing it, whether we have breakfast or not. So I'd like to call a poll vote on closing this, and the reason listed for closing it is, as Stefan said, because the council, outgoing and incoming, want to get to know each other better. So that would be the reason why this meeting is being
closed. I'm sorry, Avery, can I ask something?
Of course.
This is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Can we separate the issue of closed in the sense of who's in the room from the question of whether there's any transcription or recording?
I don't understand.
Well, you can have a meeting in which it's not open for anybody to walk in, but still have a recording, right, a transcript?
Not made publicly available, you're saying, but available to those in the meeting.
Transcript should be available, but you don't have to have the door wide open.
Okay, what do other people think about that? I would prefer to restrict it to one vote, but what do other council members believe?
I mean, my personal view is that if you're going to restrict attendance, then making the transcription available kind of defeats the whole purpose of restricting attendance in the first place.
Anyone else?
I agree with what she just said.
Okay. I would like to just do one call, that if it's closed, it's closed, no transcription. It's a private meeting. So so basically the question is a request. Do we want to close this Sunday meeting? Do we want to make this Sunday morning meeting a private meeting that is closed and without transcription? Any last comments before I ask Glenn's call?
Or recording, right?
Or record, yeah. Close and no transcript, no recording, no notes, no pictures.
And no remote participation.
Right.
What time is this scheduled for, Breton?
It's scheduled for 45 minutes before whatever our time is currently planned. I think we plan to start at 9, so I guess it would be 8:15. Is that correct, Glenn?
That's right, Audrey.
Right.
If we're doing breakfast, we need a little more time, I think.
Okay.
Yes. And do you want breakfast in the meeting room or in another room?
I think in the meeting room.
Okay.
Okay, so let's call it at 8. At 8.
Can I have remote participation from my room?
Okay. So, Glenn, could you poll the council members for closing and making private this session, which is being held so that members can get to know each other better?
Yes, I do a roll call vote, Avery. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Zaid Jamil? I think that Zaid has boarded his plane, so he's not on the call anymore. Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Cyril Chua? Is Cyril still there? I'll come back to him. Tony Harris?
Yes.
Maggie Mansukia?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
No, and may I add a comment?
Yes, please.
This is no on principle because of the NCUC position on openness, although personally I just want to say that I understand the limited reasons why others might vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Drake?
No.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Stefan Van Gelder?
Yep.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes, and I'll add a comment as well. Personally, I would be okay with it being open, but I think there's enough people that are concerned about that that I respect their view on that.
Thank you. Edmund Chan?
He dropped off, I believe.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry. Avery Doria?
I abstain for the same reasons I gave at the beginning of the meeting.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes, and I have a comment. Like Chuck, I would prefer an open meeting, but I understand the constraints of speaking that many people have, so that's okay if it's closed.
Thank you.
So that is a majority of our current quorum, which I believe was 18. So we will have a closed and private breakfast for the purpose of incoming and outgoing council members, including liaisons and policy staff, plus GNSO policy staff, plus Denise, on the Sunday morning at 8 o'clock with breakfast. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item. Thank you very much for that one. Status update. We haven't discussed the rest of the SOL agenda. I probably should do that before getting it started.
Avery, and this is Marika. You also skipped over item 7 on the agenda, the ESSEC GSI chart.
Oh, my word. Yes. I am so sorry. Thank you for pointing that out. Oh, okay, item 7, very important. There's a charter for joint work with ESSAC on internationalized data registration working group. This is the group that had been requested by the board. Julie has been working on a charter in discussion with both chair, vice chair, ESSAC, and Chuck and I. That charter has been posted to the council for a week now, and is available both in PDF and doc form, and I believe in Adobe form. And Chuck has put in a motion. Has that motion been seconded?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, that motion hasn't been seconded, and while I would have seconded it in most cases, because I'm in abstention mode, didn't feel it appropriate to second it. So I'd like to ask if there is a second for that motion at this point. That's for the ESSAC joint working group.
Philip, I'll second.
Okay, Philip. So then there's Chuck's motion, seconded by Philip. Chuck, would you like to speak to the motion?
Well, this, of course, results from a board request to form this group. I think the charter is consistent with the way we've done things in the past, except the ESSAC involved in a little different way maybe than we've done in the past. If anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I think it's a reasonable charter and would accomplish what the board requested.
Okay. Open up the queue for any discussion. Okay. Hearing no discussion, is there any objection to taking a voice vote on this? Okay. All those in favor of accepting the motion and the charter, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? I abstain for the reasons I gave at the beginning of the meeting. Okay, I believe this motion has passed. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Marika, for reminding me. I would have felt really bad forgetting that. Okay, so now moving on, we did have the full agenda. We've covered now the prior Sunday morning. The Saturday morning, basically what we have scheduled it's opening and what we're trying to still accommodate is Christina's request for moving the discussion of new GTLD implementation to Sunday. And we're still waiting on a response related to Kurt's availability to do it Sunday. I believe it was between 11 and 1. So we would do it right before we broke for lunch on Sunday. Otherwise, we would do it directly after lunch on Saturday as it currently stands. And we would just switch with the preparation for all the other meetings to Saturday, but we're still waiting on a response in terms of Kurt's availability, given that Sunday is usually fairly committed to board meetings in his schedule. Other than that, on Saturday morning, we have the houses meeting separately to deal with electing vice chairs and any other housekeeping that may need to be done. Then as the council meeting together to basically discuss the council operating procedures and comments we've received, perhaps to craft any amendments that need to be crafted due to the comments received. Then there's a lunch discussion with the candidates for GNSO chair. Then the afternoon was scheduled either for meeting with the new GTLD implementation team or discussing our joint meetings with board, board, CCNSO, and GACS, and then an update on who is studies, discussion of the RFP for the, for the studies. So that was the schedule for Saturday. Any discussion on that?
Do we have any word? Now, I see that Kurt's dropped off the call, but do we know whether Kurt's available on midday on Sunday, like we said?
Glenn, have you?
This is Denise. I think, you know, it looks like he may be able to do it, but I'm sorry, Kurt and I are both in transit, but he should be back on the phone shortly. It looks like he might be available, but again, I think he just needs to confirm a couple of other things, so he should know by late today or early tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. And then what we have for Sunday is we start out, there's the PPSC, and this meeting has timings on it. Now, we would need to change the timings by somewhat because we have a 1230 to 1400 working buffet lunch, and we would retime that from 13 to 1430 probably if we're bringing in Kurt, so we would reorient the schedule there. But there's basically parallel meetings going on between various PPSC working teams and the OSC working teams, and then there's a and then there's the OSC meeting also in the afternoon. And so that schedule, fairly complicated, is laid out. We have the 5 to 6 joint meeting with GAC GNSO, and then we have the board dinner. Topics have not been selected for either of those yet, though I do believe in terms of the joint GAC GNSO, certainly the topics will revolve around their letter, unless there are other topics that GNSO members wish to bring up. Okay, going on, and I need to fill in some of this, the Seoul public meeting, in terms of the ACSO, and I'll report on that more a little later when we get to the status, so we're rapidly running out of time, the joint CCNSO-GNSO meeting will basically revolve around the joint IDN group that has been formed. And for the AXO forum, while we recommended the malicious usage, there's some counter proposals, and that's still an item of discussion. There'll be a meeting on that later today. Okay, then for the Seoul public meeting, basically we start on the council operating procedures, and there may be amendments to be discussed and voted on. There's certainly that. Then there's the election of the council chair. Then there's the who is studies, where there'll be a presentation and open discussion. Then TBD, one of the PDP efforts, and I haven't lined up which one of those will be ready yet. I'm looking for advice from the liaisons of those groups.
Look later.
On which one. Then there's a presentation on the IANA Business Excellence Initiative, and then the open mic. Any comments? Okay, and the Thursday meeting. One thing I need to mention about the council chair that didn't come up in the discussion. Assuming all of the incoming council members are there, the election can be completed in that Wednesday meeting, and hopefully with all the pre-discussion everyone will have had, there will be a new chair elected at that point, at which point that new chair would take over the meeting. If there is an absentee ballot required, that would be a 24, because not all members are there, but elections do require an absentee ballot, then there would be a 24-hour absentee ballot that would be complete by the time the Thursday normal follow-up meeting was done. And I guess as decided in the transition thing, I would continue to chair that meeting pending the outcome of the election. Okay, any discussion? And then the Thursday meeting is basically the standard follow-up meeting with sort of agenda to be determined. So that's it. There's still obviously some flexibility and rearranging to happen in the weekend. It is falling together. We're trying to get it all solidified as quickly as possible. At this point, I'd also like to bring up that we have another meeting scheduled, and I want to get into the statuses. We have another meeting scheduled for 8 October, which is 2 weeks from now. I put that in at the original schedule just in case we did have issues that we needed to resolve because of the transition that we hadn't resolved yet. At this point, I'm starting to believe, but I'm willing to be corrected, that that meeting can probably be canceled. However, I want to leave it open for the next week until a week before the meeting when the agenda would be set to make that final determination if that's okay with people. And I ask council members to come back and sort of say, yes, this meeting should be canceled, and please do it on the list, or no, we have an important issue that needs to be discussed in council before moving on. And at this point,
okay, I could have somebody meet her.
Okay, someone's got an extra conversation that's leaking in. At this point, I'd like to go back to the status update. The first one we had was the board update. Denise, if you're still with us and not in transit.
I am in transit, but still with
you. Still with us. Oh, okay.
We're expecting the board to finalize and post its agenda for its September 30th board meeting today. So Glenn will be sending a note to the list when that's posted in, and you're able to see it. The board held an internal retreat, not an official board meeting, a few weeks ago in L.A. The one item of particular interest to the council is the board's extensive discussion regarding new GTLDs and the draft applicant guidebook. There are two issues in particular that the board would like GNSO input on, particularly given that some of the guidance in the new GTLD policy was high level and broad. The board is interested in the GNSO's input on whether the proposed implementation is consistent with and in the council's mind the most effective way to implement the GNSO's policy. So Kurt and I are working with the board to finalize the specific request that will be coming from the board to the council to address these issues. And is Kurt back on the phone? Kurt? I'll forward a letter that was recently sent to the House Judiciary Committee where Rod Beckstrom makes reference to this additional work, and the board will be finalizing its request to the GNSO at its September 30th board meeting, and then you'll be receiving an official letter from Peter. So that's really all I have to report. I'm happy to answer any questions. But again, the actual tasking from the board to the council on the two trademark issues in particular, the clearinghouse and the URS, is still being formulated by the board. So I can't go into too much specifics now, but you should have those by September 30th, October 1st.
Okay. And Denise, for clarity for the whole council, is it correct that the time frame of the work that the council will be asked to do will be to the end of the year, or is that finalized yet?
Yeah, again, none of this is finalized yet. The board will be discussing it, and taking a final vote on September 30th. Right now, the decision is 2 months after the draft aspect guidebook is issued.
I'm sorry. Can I get in queue?
Certainly. I just want to mention that that letter may indeed be a good agenda item for this 8 October meeting that's pending there. Okay, Tony.
Yeah, I have a question for Denise. Board letter or request for input from the GNSO, do you have any idea or does Kurt have any idea if this will impact the timeline as it was last announced, the timeline for implementation?
Yeah, this is Kurt. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it certainly will impact the timeline. And that, you know, the board has the same sense of urgency in getting the process launched as they have in the past, and that is, you know, with the right amount of deliberation and community feedback on issues that are important, taking that, but then asking that work be done in a lucrative style so that the process can be moved ahead, but it'll certainly impact the launch.
Okay, thanks. I'll have to ask God to extend my incarnation then, see if I can get to the implementation time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And any other questions for Denise?
Yes, this is Tim.
Okay, Tim.
So Denise, you mentioned that the board would be asking input from the GNSO on two issues. And did I understand right then that the two issues are, one, input on the general implementation of the new GTLD process, and then, two, the trademark issues. Is that?
No. Oh. Not general implementation. No, right now the board is discussing a request to the GNSO that's very focused and specific, and focusing in particular on two issues that are related to trademarks, the clearinghouse and the URS.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else?
Yeah, Stefan here.
Okay, Stefan.
Can Kurt tell us when the DAG V3 is coming out?
Yeah, right around. You know, it may be affected somewhat by the board meeting on September 30th, but it's scheduled to come out right around October 1st.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions for Denise or Kurt on these issues? Okay.
Aubrey, while we have Kurt on, I wonder if we could ask Kurt whether, as far as he knows, he might be available that midday on Sunday, as we talked about.
Yeah, so I think so. I'm just trying to get clarity on when the final board committee meetings and the board shop subjects, but I'm planning for that, and I'll work hard to do that. So the short answer is yes, even though I didn't get invited, you know, to breakfast.
Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it on behalf of the IPC.
Thank you, Kurt.
This is Denise. Before we leave this particular topic of the board request, I just wanted to perhaps state the obvious, but with a expected 2 month timeline for the work that the board is requesting from the GNSO, I would expect this to have a significant impact on the time key community members have to spend on GNSO issues, and overall it will have a not insignificant impact on the council's workload. So once we get this request, then the council members should be thinking about overall the work that's on the community's plate and be thinking about which items they would want to delay to accommodate the board's request.
Thank you, Denise. One thing is fortunate in that most of the time being spent on the transition and restructuring should be done, so perhaps this work will be the perfect thing to fill the gap created by the absence of having to reorganize?
Well, reorganization and restructure, Aubrey, is just one element of the GNSO improvements, and I believe there may still be quite a bit going on other GNSO improvement recommendations.
Right.
But
there
hopefully
may be,
the restructure part's behind us.
Right. But also a lot of the work, for example, the operating procedures and such that was stressed. So it may be possible to look at the work and perhaps the rest of the improvements work will settle in for a month or two while. But yes. Okay. Moving on. Any more on the board update from Denise?
That's it.
Okay. And any more questions for Denise or Kurt? Okay. We're over time now, so I'll go through quickly. There was the CCNSO liaison update that Olga put in. Were there any questions? Okay. There was a geographical region work update that Olga and Zaid put in. Any comments or questions? Okay. On joint ACSO efforts, the GNSO SAC work, we voted on the charter. Thanks to Marika reminding me that I had skipped the item. On the RAA with ALAC, it's pending. We're trying to schedule the first meeting.
And the ALAC is in the process of selecting the lead rep.
Okay, great. Thank you. On the joint IDN group, Edmund sent in just today, but it's been cut in, an update on that getting started. Any questions? Well, Edmund's not here, so questions would have to be sent to the list. On the AXO meeting in Seoul, it's still going on. ISAF certainly passed on both the council's suggested topic and the council's sort of expressed but not a complete consensus opinion on either moving it to Thursday or even questioning its value. Many of the other people do believe there's still value. There's still discussions going on whether it's Thursday or Monday. And as I said on the list, the CCNSO has put forward the topic on fast track, since they expect to get approval or at least a vote on that in Seoul. And I will take back the opinions that I've gotten on the list to the AXO meeting this afternoon or this evening, whenever it is. And I don't know if there are any other questions that people would like to add at this point. If so, please keep discussing it on the list, and I'll take all of the list comments to that AXO meeting this afternoon. Okay, we did not get a update on the RAS working group. We have, and Mike's not here, so we'll have to put off any questions or discussion. We do have a report from Tim on post-expiry. Any questions on that for Tim?
Aubrey, this is Tim. I missed this week's meetings because of some travel, but I've been kind of going off of what I've been able to do with the recordings, and I did miss one thing that Marika reminded me of, and that is that the constituencies still have until October 6th to submit statements on the post-expiry domain name recovery charter questions. So far, we've received the ITC and the Registrar Constituency statements. Now, those weren't posted as part of the public comment, but they have been received. And October 6th for any other constituencies who want to contribute.
Okay,
and Tim, the registry's statement is in the works.
Great, and I believe the BC has, the business constituency has said theirs is also, so we appreciate that.
Any other word from the other two constituencies?
I think NCUC has been struggling to get people mobilized around this, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. And the ISP? Okay, moving on. Thank you, Tim. And there's a brief comment on the inter-register transfer policy B, which has just gotten started. Okay. Drafting teams. Olga did submit a travel policy drafting team issue, and it covers the members needing funding.
Avery?
Yes, Olga?
Yes, this is Olga. I would like to make a comment. Glenn sent to the list today a message sent by Kevin Wilson, where he's saying that if some retiring counselor needs funding for Seoul, they have some flexibility. The request should be made by the each constituency. By the way, at this moment we have requests from Tony Harris, from Tony Holmes, which is partial, and from Philip Shepard, as far as I have received information in the travel drafting team list and in the council list. So I just wanted to mention this because it should be the time now to let them know, because there is not much time for the Seoul meeting yet.
Okay, thank you. So any constituencies that have such a request to make, please have the constituent. Do they make it through you, Olga, or they make it directly to Kevin?
If I understand from Kevin's message, and maybe I'm mistaken, so please let me know, they should make it to him, from constituencies
okay,
to him.
Okay, I would ask that they copy you and the travel team just so you
fine.
Can continue to track
up.
It.
Okay.
Right. Okay, thank you. Any questions on that? Okay, thank you. The IDNG is still on hold. And then there's a PPSC report from Jess Newman. And for the working team group and for the for the PDP team from Jeff and the working group working team from Scott. Then the OSD report, Chuck put in reports for all of the teams there. Are there any questions on those? And if there are questions on the PPSC, I would take them back either to Jeff or to Jay Scott, not being able to answer them myself. Okay. Thank you. And then the last thing is the restructuring effort. I don't know if, Rob, there's no statuses in on any of these. There's the restructuring. There's the status of implementation steps. I guess that's part of what we just voted on today. There's the stakeholder group charters, which I believe was already completed and there's no further action on. We probably should just make a placeholder that says that. Constituency charters, I don't know if there's anything to add, and I don't know whether there's any update on new constituencies. Rob, you have your name attached to most of these. I don't know if there's a comment on any of these.
Yes, Aubrey, thanks. I think you've teed up that a lot of the update work you all just accomplished in this meeting. The only other two little items that I would add is, yes, on the constituency charters for the existing constituencies, staff had shared with the leadership of those groups some suggested bare minimum structural changes to make prior to Seoul. My understanding is that work is proceeding. Also, with respect to new constituencies, that has been somewhat inactive, but the board did reach out to some of the new constituency proponents after some of their recent meetings, and there has been dialogue between constituency proponents and the board. I don't know whether that's going to be on their agenda for their meeting this month or later in Seoul. That we'll find out, I guess, as Denise noted, when we see their agenda.
Okay, thank you. I have one question on that, and then I don't know if there are others. On the new constituencies, after the negotiations with the SIC and the board, will those charters be once again published for public comment?
I don't know. I don't believe so. I think the board is still discussing when and if they will act on them. If they do, I think they're just going to proceed based upon the current dialogue they've had. But I don't know what their agenda plans are for that.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comments or questions from anyone else on any of the restructuring issues for Rob?
Aubrey, this is not for Rob, but it's kind of a follow-up to some restructuring things that we did earlier in the meeting. Unless somebody else wants to take the lead, I will resend my little draft plan to the council list with regard to how we might expedite zeroing in on a chair candidate, and would like to encourage the stakeholder groups to be thinking about identifying either one or multiple points of contact that can kind of help keep this thing going, and as well start thinking about possible candidates within their stakeholder group that might be willing and available to be nominated for chair. I will follow up with an email unless somebody else wants to do that.
Thank you. And certainly as a unaffected party, I'm also willing to help in and organizing this if that becomes an issue, and if other people become candidates and find it difficult to be in the organizing seat.
That's very good, Aubrey. Thanks.
Right. Okay. Any other questions or discussions or issues? Okay. Any other business?
Aubrey, I have something very minor.
Please.
I just wanted to let everyone know there will be a formal notification going to Glenn, but the IPC finished their elections yesterday. I have been reelected as counselor, and our second IPC counselor will be David Taylor from Lovells in Paris.
Okay, thank you, and congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Any other business of any sort? Okay, we have run 15 minutes over. I thank you all for a very fine meeting. And we can discuss on the list whether the meeting on the 8th of October will actually be held, but I suspect that at the very least to discuss the letter of September 30th, it will make sense to hold that meeting given the pressure of the schedule we would then have. So with that, thank you very much.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.